Good morning. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help, your help, our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen. Amen. Since we are going to be talking about prayer today, again, we want to say good morning to all that are joining with us. We have a few minutes before we actually get started on today. But as we look at Psalm 130, those few verses that is there, I will tell you, as Sister Cheryl Hitchcock will always say, they are power-packed. Power-packed as we look at the attributes of God and look at our approach to God as we come to him. And I'm just going to read a few scriptures. Hopefully they will encourage you this morning, as well as encourage the listeners that would come on later or listen to the recording later. And it reads from Luke 11, verse number 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. As we have been studying in another session, the principles and the protocol and the attributes of prayer and how our prayer should be aligned to the Word of God, how we should pray the Word. Ephesians 6 and 18 says this, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So it tells us right there in Ephesians 6 and 18, we are to pray in the Spirit. How do we pray in the Spirit? We pray the Word of God. We align to his Word. We align to his promises. We align to what he has said, he has already done, and will do. So as we walk this morning through our Word on today, from Psalms 130, we ask if you would please just keep in mind, Colossians 4 and 2 says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And Pastor Kuiper, this one is for you and Sister Wanda and the person just came on the line. This particular scripture is for you. 1 John 5 and 14 says this, this is the confidence that we is the disciples of Christ, those that have made the Romans 10, 9, and 10 sincere declaration, those that are connected to the true vine, John 15, and those that have the Holy Spirit operating on the inside, Acts 1 and 8. It says this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything, notice this now, anything according to what? His will, he hears us. Our prayers have to align to the will of God. Not our will, but what God's will is for us. Again, let me give you one more scripture this morning concerning prayer as we prepare to get started. Coming from Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. Here's what it says. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. So again, this shares with us the principle, the protocol, the attributes of prayer, how we are to approach God. And and I will tell us, we have to approach God, you all, in humility. We have to approach him in faith. So I just wanted to share those scriptures this morning just to encourage us as we look at Psalms 130 on today and be encouraged as we look at attributes, as we look at ourselves. I'm not pointing the finger at anyone this morning, but looking at myself, looking in my own mirror, in the mirror of the Word, and seeing what God is saying and speaking to me on today. So again, we want to say good morning to each of you that are joining us here at the Gathering Place located here in Macon, Georgia, with your facilitator, Minister Deborah Singleton. As we mentioned earlier, our foundational scripture today will come from Psalm 130. Psalm 130. Good morning. Who do we have on the line this morning?
Mother Nia.
Good morning, Mother Nia. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning to you and everybody else.
Good morning. Good morning. Who else do we have on the line this morning?
This is Gloria.
Good morning, Sister Gloria. Good morning. Thank you again for joining with us this past week. It's so good to hear your voice this morning. Good morning.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you again. Thank you for someone gave me a gift. So thank you. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Anyone else on the line that would like to speak to us this morning before we get started? Amen. If not, we are going to go ahead and get started this morning. We will open up with our prayer. I don't know if Sister Ruby is on the line this morning, but we are going to press ahead. I believe we have our recording that's already started, and we are going to open up with our scripture this morning, and we are going to read Psalm 98, Psalm 98 this morning as we open up. And it reads, "Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God." And notice what verse number 4 tells us to do. "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of a ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord the King." I read in your hearing this morning Psalm 98, verses 1 through 6. Amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come this morning. We come telling you thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for being our provider. Thank you, O God, for being our almighty God, our all-sufficient God, our all-knowing God. We thank you, O God, for being our Jehovah Shalom, being our peace, O God. Lord, we thank you, God, that we can come to you. And Lord, we know we come with the right heart, the right spirit, O God, that not only do you hear us, but you answer us in that our prayers are aligned to your will. And Lord, we thank you that we have that confidence that we can come to the throne of grace. We can come making our requests unto you. This morning, oh Father, we thank you for those that have joined us on the line this morning. We ask right now that you would bless them, that you would empower them, oh God. Lord, that you would touch their homes right now, those that reside in their homes, in the name of Jesus. I don't know what challenges they may be facing, standing in the need maybe of comfort or strength, oh God, but I know, God, in the name of Jesus, God, that you stand by your word of Isaiah 43:2. You said no matter what waters we come to, you will go with us, be with us, bring us through them, and you will never leave us. You have told us whatever rivers we come to that we would not be overwhelmed. And Lord, when the intensity of our trials and tribulations may get hotter and hotter, You said that you would bring us out of them and we would not even smell like smoke. Our hairs on our heads would not even be singed. And for that, I tell you, thank you. Lord, I thank you that you told us that we don't have to be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, we can present our request to you. We thank you for the peace that you give us, a peace that transcends all understanding. We thank you that you guard our hearts and you guard our minds. Now, Lord, as we come to open your word and praise and worship this morning, we just want to tell you thank you. Thank you, oh God, for loving us. Thank you, oh God, for your steadfast love. Thank you for being our refuge. Thank you for going before us. Thank you for keeping us. Thank you for regulating our minds. Lord, we just give you praise this morning. We worship you this morning, for we know that you've been mighty, mighty good to us. We thank you for your marvelous deeds that we have seen, oh God. We have seen the glory of the Lord, and we thank you that we can rejoice this morning and give you the glory. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. And we thank you, God, for the word that's going to come forth on today. Lord, we ask that you bless the presenter. Lord, you bless the word, for I know it's already blessed, God, but it will infiltrate the heart of men and women, God, and they will be encouraged, oh God, to continue to carry out Matthew 28:19-20. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Again, we want to say good morning to each of you that are joining us here at the gathering place beyond the walls. This morning, I've asked our sister if she would come, Sister Wanda, come and read our scripture this morning. Our scripture comes from Psalm 130, Psalm 130 this morning. Come on, my sister, and share with us the reading of our word on today.
Good morning, good morning. I'll be reading
Good
Psalm
morning.
From the New King James Version, and it reads as follows. Out of the depths I cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark my iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption, and it shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. That is the reading of the word.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, my sister, for reading those powerful 8 verses from Psalm 130. Amen. Amen. Our song of praise this morning. See what the Lord has done. See what the Lord has done. You ought to count your many blessings and see what the Lord has done. Oh, see what the Lord has done. See what the Lord has done. You ought to count your many blessings and see what the Lord has done. You know he woke me up this morning. See what the Lord has done. You know he woke me up this morning. See what the Lord has done. You know he woke me up this morning. See what the Lord has done. You ought to count your many blessings. You ought to count your many blessings. You ought to count your many blessings and see what the Lord has done. Oh, see what the Lord has done. See what the Lord has done. You ought to count your many blessings and see what the Lord has done. Oh, you know he healed this body of mine. See what the Lord has done. Oh, you know he healed this body of mine. See what the Lord has done. Oh, you know he healed this body of mine. See what the Lord has done. You ought to count your many blessings. You ought to count your many blessings. You ought to count your many blessings and see what the Lord has done. Oh, see what the Lord has done. See what the Lord has done. You ought to count your many blessings. You ought to count your many blessings. You ought to count your many blessings and see what the Lord has done. Amen. 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 See what the Lord has done. Count your many blessings and see what the Lord has done. Amen. Amen. As we prepare this morning for our walk in the Word, Sunday morning walk in the Word, I have the privilege of having our brother to come alongside us this morning. He has been doing a tremendous walk in the Word through the book of Romans, none other than Pastor Reginald Kuyper. So this morning, you all know him. He is a man of God. He is a man of integrity. He walks by Psalm 1 where he meditates on the word both day and night. He also aligns himself with Michael chapter 6, verse 8, where he knows what God requires of him. So this morning, as he brings to us the word, I ask that we pray for him and come alongside him. And as we go on mute, put our phones on mute, that we will have our pen and our paper and our word this morning so we can do some. I've already started, Pastor Kuyper. I've done some underlining and looking through the word and highlighting through the word this morning already, just in these first, just in these few eight verses that is presented here. So this morning, my brother, we present you to our group on today. I pray that God will have his way and that he will, Holy Spirit will teach through you as we not only listen to the word to get information, but we will be transformed by the word so that we can go forth and carry out Matthew 28, 19 through 20. My brother, Pastor Kuyper.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Dr. Singleton, for that introduction and the opportunity to share with the saints on the line on this blessed Sunday morning. Surely this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are glad and rejoicing in it. And I was glad when they said unto me, let us come into the house of the Lord. And when we share on this line, we are tabernacles full with the Holy Spirit, and we have come together to share the word of God with one another. I'm just so thankful, and this particular psalm has blessed me so much. Just reading it is a blessing. The power of God's word emanates in our lives. And so we immerse ourselves in the word that we might be able to get the life that comes from the word of God. And I'm just so thankful for God's word and the power that's in it to help us along our journey in this life. I don't know how anybody would make it through this life if they did not come into the knowledge of who God is and come into the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is and what he had done for us, his death, his burial, his resurrection. For surely God sent his only begotten Son that whoever should believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. We're just so thankful that God thought enough of us, that he cared enough, that he loved us with that depth of love, that he would find a way to bridge the gap between us and him. For surely we were sinners, lost, sinners who fell short of his glory. And because we fell short of God's glory, we were separated in terms of having this intimate fellowship with him. But because Jesus Christ God sent his son to be that ransom, to purchase us from our lives of sin. From wherever we were, he came, and at the time he came upon the earth, took on the form of a man. So God came down, took on a form of a man, that we might be able to know that Jesus came. And when he came, he lived here amongst us for 33 years. And then he suffered. He suffered, bled, and died a criminal death on a criminal cross for our sins. What gravity of that. We should feel the power of the depth of his sacrifice for us. So God said we couldn't save ourselves, so he came that he might save us from the depths of our sin and from the depths of entering into hell. So now we've been saved through grace, through our faith. It is a gift that God has given us. Yes, it's a gift of God. It's not by works, because we would boast about it if we could work our way to this salvation. But he came and he gave us this gift. And so now that we have this gift, we can rejoice in him and learn more about his word. So every time we read the word of God, we should always focus on the fact that everything points to Christ. Christ is in the Old Testament, as we see him there, pointing to the new as he entered into a covenant with us. He entered into a covenant through his shed blood on the cross at Calvary. He gave us an opportunity to commune with him and to remember through what we call communion and the fellowship of the believers. As we break bread together and we drink of the wine, we're reminded of his body, which was broken for us. We're also reminded of his blood that was shed for the forgiveness and the remission of our sins. So today, saints on the line, given the opportunity of dealing with this particular song, knowing that in the lesson series, as we are dealing with prayer and we're dealing with these things, this part is dealing with expressions of hope. When we look at the psalmist speaks expressions of hope. And in this particular psalm, there is an expected watchfulness that we have, knowing who God is once we know him. And we know who God is, we can expect certain things that based on what he has said and promised us that he will bring it to pass. Yes, God can bring it to pass. And through his redemption power, he can deliver us from whatever situations we may find ourselves in. Psalms 130 is one of the psalms that's in a series of psalms in the book of Psalms called the Song of Ascents. These psalms are considered the Psalms of Ascents, or Song of the Grieve. Yes, they started as Psalm 120, and they moved to Psalms 134. There's 15 psalms that are considered part of this section that some call the Songs of Ascents. Yes, these were special songs of ascents. These were songs that were sung by the Israelites. They were on their way to Jerusalem. Yes. Three times a year, there was a faithful trek to the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a city up on a hill. And so when they were walking, they can look toward Jerusalem as they would sing these psalms, as they would ascend up to Mount Zion. As they were singing up to Jerusalem, they would sing these psalms all the way through. And it's so powerful when you think about it. And I encourage all of us to read those psalms, starting at Psalms 120 through Psalms 134. They are not very long, and so they're short enough that we can take them in and take in what God is saying to us. I just want to read to you. As I was studying this, God revealed this to me, and I just said, well, let me just look at these psalms starting at 120 and just the verse 1 of each one of those and see how God is dealing, how the psalmist is approaching God. Psalms 120 says, I called on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. Psalms 121 starts as, I lift up mine eyes to the hills, which comes of my help. Yes, my help comes from the Lord. Psalms 122 says, I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Do you see the power of these psalms? Listen, Psalms 123, I lift up my eyes to you, to you who sit on the throne in heaven.
Yes.
That's how you approach God. Psalms 124, if the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say again, if the Lord had not been on our side, and we always say, where would we be? Listen, Psalms 125, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. Can you imagine them walking to Jerusalem, and they said they didn't have all this transportation like that. They were walking, and they were walking, and they could see the city in the distance, and they were singing these songs, and it was lifting them up. Man, by the time they got to the temple, you know they were ready to worship God. Listen, we should be built up every morning by God's word. We pray the Psalms. We pray the word of God because it will lift us even beyond the words that we can think. We can add into our thoughts as we speak to God, too. And the psalmist teaches us how to approach God and how to pray to him. Psalms 126, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we would be like those who dream. Yes, we'd be like those who dream. 127, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. Yes, Psalms 128, blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. Psalms 129, they have greatly oppressed me from my youth, let Israel say. They have greatly oppressed me from thy youth, but they have not gained the victory over me. Psalms 130, we're going to get to Psalms 130. Let's skip this. I hear you, sister. It makes you want to shout, don't it? Listen, somebody on the line, even though your phone is mute, you should be shouting, because just look at how we're approaching God. Psalms 23, my heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with matters or things too wonderful for me. I got to let God handle those things that's too wonderful for me. But I do wonder, and I look at the miraculous things that God has created in this earth. Psalms 132, Lord, remember David and all his self-denial. He swore an oath to the Lord. He made a vow to the mighty one of Jacob. Yes, yes, Psalms 133. How good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. Yes, so we dwell together in unity. As they were united as one people going up. Yes. So these psalms bring back a unity. It could be prayed for individually, and we can see the individual blessing in it, but we see the collective blessing of the nation together in these psalms. And the last one is Psalms 134. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Oh, somebody's ministering by night. Since we all know we minister by day, we're the work while day, because night nobody could work, but somebody could minister in the nighttime. Yes, yes, praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who minister by night in the house of the Lord. There had to be a continual ministering going on in the house of the Lord. If you know about the tabernacle, you know about the temple, yeah, they had to keep it going all night because somebody might stand and have to come and offer a sacrifice at night. Oh, my God. And so those priests were ministering all around the clock, keeping the fire. The fire of the altar of incense has to keep burning. Hallelujah. So we know that these songs, so I just wanted to draw a picture for you of these songs, that these songs were being sung, and at least three times a year, they would faithfully make that trip to Jerusalem. Even during the time of our Lord Jesus Christ, they were making that trip to Jerusalem. Yes, we know that they came from all over the known world at the time, during the time of the Passover. Somebody say amen. They came through that time. And so we see even during those feast days, let me tell you, you know those feast days. We don't think about these three major feast days, but, you know, we're talking about the Feast of Weeks, which we call Passover. I'm sorry. The Feast of Weeks is Pentecost, but the Feast of Unleavened Bread is the one that we call Passover. And the Feast of Weeks is the one that we call Pentecost. Then the third feast was the Feast of Booths, which we call the time of the Feast of Tents, that some people call it. Hallelujah. And that, those three times were the time they would make this pilgrimage, and they would be going. I could just see all those that were Israelites, those who would follow Jehovah God, were coming from all the known parts, and they would sing these songs. I can imagine that they got closer to the city, more than got more and more and got there and crowded together. You know how you travel in the distance, and as you be traveling the distance, everybody's coming to the reunion, but everybody's coming. If everybody was traveling at the same time, like they're going to a football game or some type of activity, as you get closer and closer to the activity, the traffic gets heavier and heavier. So more Israelites were collecting even more and more, and they were joining in unison, singing these songs to Zion, singing these songs to their God, letting it permeate their soul that they may be ready when they got there to lift up their God and experience whatever God had for them. So they were people whose salvation had been accomplished in the Exodus. Yes, they had an identity. They had been defined at Mount Sinai. Yeah, they were preserved there, and they had been assured that during the 40 years of the wilderness, wandering, that God would take care of them as they went through that process of testing and trial. As people, they regularly climbed this road to Jerusalem to worship their God. I can just imagine, I just, in my mind, looking at a hill, as you're approaching the hill, and they could see the temple in the distance. They could see when it was the tabernacle in the distance. They could see it. And they had to be excited as they know they were headed to the house of the Lord. So we are rejoicing today in that about this song. So that is the background of it, these Psalms of Ascent. I encourage all the saints on the line, read them. Let them permeate your soul. Recite them out loud. Speak them to into the atmosphere. And let the Lord speak to your soul into the depthness of your heart. As we look at the Psalms, I don't want to keep you long here today, but as we look at Psalms 130, we began to focus on this particular psalm, this psalm of ascents, of degrees, of elevation, of elevation. We focus on this psalm. And in this psalm, we're going to look at, we heard it read to in our hearing, in our listening earlier. As we go through the verses of this, let the Lord speak to your heart. Let him speak to you. Imagine where you are. The way I look at this psalm and what came to me is I'm ministering the psalm to you. My title for the psalm as I minister to you is, Lord, lift me up by your love. Lord, lift me up by your love. We all find ourselves sometimes in situations where we are down. Sometimes we find ourselves in down and depressed. I don't know if you've ever been depressed. We can be oppressed and sometimes depressed. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you had something that you couldn't overcome, but you knew that it was hurting you. And it may have been a loss of a family member. And then that loss, you find yourself suffering from the loss and wanting that person still to be here. I don't know if you were ever experiencing something in your body, some type of illness that came to get you, and the doctors didn't know what the cure would be. They didn't even know how to diagnose what you had. I remember having a child that nobody could diagnose what he had up front. It took a while for a doctor to even try to figure out what was wrong with my child. And I remember crying out to the Lord about that because I had no way of controlling what was happening. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you had done something and you know you were guilty and you knew they were coming for you. Maybe it was the authorities. Now, some people on here, maybe you didn't commit a crime with those who were law enforcement was coming after you. But some people have been in a situation, they know they have done wrong. They know that the law is coming to get them. But in their period of time, they're worried. They're on the run. They're trying to avoid this. They're always worried every day. Are they going to show up today? Sometimes that's how it is when we know that we're in trouble. Some of us have been in trouble. Just know that we've been in trouble and didn't know how to get out of it. Oh, my goodness. So we have all been in situations, I'm sure, whether it was a life situation, some people may consider, or a grave situation where we were suffering. I think about the people in the world today. There are people that are suffering, suffering within themselves. And I see that us as a nation, we are suffering as a nation. We always hear about all the negative news about what's going on in our world and in our nation. People over in other countries where there are wars occurring, people are dying, and people are suffering. This is a psalm where the psalmist cries out. And as we go through it, let's just feel the power of the psalmist that wrote this one as he's speaking to God. Verse 1, he says, out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Out of the depths, out of the depths, I cry to you. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. There's so much there as we look at God. What about God? Who is God? God is one who can hear us in the depths of our situation, in the depths of our sorrow, in the depths of our pain, in the depths of our loss, in the depths of our situation. We are in a depth situation. We are in the deep. We're in the deep. And this reminds us of being like in the ocean. The first person that came to my mind when I read this and I thought about somebody in the depth, I thought about Jonah. Jonah was down in the depth in the belly of the fish, of the whale. But he was down in there, and he cried to the Lord. I thought about some people like Job who suffered. And when he got to a certain situation, he called to the Lord. I think about those others that are in Scripture that you can think about who were in situations that they had to cry to the Lord. Even David, when he found himself where everybody turned on him at Ziklag, and he had to encourage himself in the Lord his God. And so from the depths of the ocean, so we can imagine what that depths can be. It can be like an ocean. If anybody's ever been in the ocean or in water, if you've just been in water, you can understand what it's like to have water covering you. And you know that this water is covering you, but you're looking for a place to get up so where you can breathe. So from the depths, from the deep, from his depth of despair, he cried to the Lord. He said, Lord, hear my voice. Hear me, Lord. Even if, hear my voice. You know, the Lord can hear your voice when you're crying out. And he's letting us know that when he's talking about his voice, he is crying to the Lord. This is in a loud voice. He's not just saying it in a song. He's crying out to you. He said, let your ear be attentive. Let your ear, God, hear what I'm saying. Tune into what I'm saying, God. Yes. God can hear us no matter where we are, no matter what the circumstances. If we cry out to God, he can hear us. And he gave him a cry. He said it was a cry of mercy. He used the word mercy here. And so he's crying out for help. Lord, help me. I kind of reminded of Jesus on the water with Peter, and Peter was walking the water, and then he began to sink. He gave a short prayer. He just said, Lord, help me. Listen, yes. Sometimes you just have to say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me out this situation. I don't know the way out. I know I may have to face consequences for whatever has occurred here, but God, I need you to help me in this situation. What are you facing today? What is going on in your life? What's going on in other people's life? You can go to them and say, cry out to the Lord. Ask that he hear your voice as you cry out for mercy. Yes, I love the Lord. The Lord can hear our cry. The prophet says his arm is not too short that he cannot deliver, nor is his ear too heavy that he cannot hear us. His ear is not too heavy that he can hear us when we cry out to him, Lord, help me. Sometimes I'm going through things and I'm not really realizing how overwhelmed I am, but I can feel it every now and then. I just say, Lord, help. Just help me, Lord. I don't know what to do at this moment. By crying to you that you be merciful to me. So when we talk about the Lord here, we are talking about Jehovah. Yes, Jehovah. And then when he talks about the Lord and he says, Lord, hear my voice, he said, Master, hear my voice. Sometimes he's saying, Jehovah, hear me. I'm crying to you. And sometimes he's saying, Adonai. He's saying, Master, hear my voice. And he says in verse 3, so the first thing I guess I'm giving you here is that God hears us no matter where we are. We're going to talk about some things that God is in this song of how God responds to us. Verse 3, I want you to know that God can record things. He records things. He records our sins. He can record them. You know, he's taking track of what we've done. The scripture says we'll stand before him that give an account for the things that we've done. So he's recording those things that are going on. So in verse 3, he's saying, Lord, he said, if you, Lord, and there, I like the word there in the Hebrew, it's not Jehovah, it's Yah. It's like he's shortening it up. He said, Yah, listen here, Yah. If you keep a record of my sins, I can't stand before you. Who can stand, okay. Lord? Who can stand before you if you record how bad I my iniquity in my heart? Yeah, I may look good on the outside, Lord, but if you examine my heart, Lord, I can't stand. Because even if I'm not committing a transgression, there's iniquity in my heart. It could be iniquity in my heart. Inside. Who can stand? Who can stand before a holy God? Yes, yes. So he can record our sins. So he's recording these things that we are doing in our life. That's why some people say your life will flash before your eyes. Your life flashes before you. But if we have these transgressions, sins, and iniquities that we commit, who can stand if the Lord is keeping a record of it? We can't save ourselves. We're guilty. We're guilty before a holy God. Yes, yes, but that's good news. There's good news as we move forward in verse number 4. Our God is a forgiving God. He's a forgiving God. Verse 4, he says, but you, with you, there is forgiveness. Yes, there is forgiveness with our God. And what is that forgiveness? You know, there's a psalm, there's some scripture that says that he had cast our sins into the sea of forgetfulness, and he remembers them no more. Yes, yes, yes. Cast them into the sea of forgetfulness, and he remembers those no more. So he has the power to forgive us of our sin. Yes, yes, and what should be coming to your mind is 1 John 1:9. He is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, yes, he has the power to forgive. He said, and the psalmist is saying that you haven't forgiven me yet because I can't stand before you, but I know that in you, God, there is forgiveness. You have that power. You have the power of forgiveness, your loving kindness, that mercy. Your mercy renews every day, as we say. And so he's saying, so that we can, with reverence, serve you. And because of your forgiveness, you know, it's like somebody standing before the judge. They know they're guilty. They know they're guilty. But the judge pronounces them innocent and set them free. He pronounced them righteous, as we say in Romans, and they set them free. They're justified at that moment. And in their justification, it should bring about a humility in us because we couldn't do anything because we are guilty. We know that we deserve it. But with our God, there is forgiveness. And with that forgiveness, it brings about a reverential awe, a fear. In some version of the Bible, it says fear. But that fear is a reverence, a reverence, a respect for God, a understanding how good he is. You know, if you know somebody that you know, and they, like maybe a parent, you know, our parents will chastise us when we're wrong, but we know that they love us. So you know that you're wrong, but sometimes that you have to have that reverence for your parents. You have to have that reverence for God. You have to have that reverential fear. That same parent is the one that loves you, but they know, you know, that they say they so on, like they say they could take you out of here too. Watch out now. Someone said, I'm gonna deal with you, but I love you. But sometimes, you know, we know that God has the power. Yes, he has the power of forgiveness. And we know that when he forgives us, it should make us want to serve him even more. Yes, we don't serve him. Just out of fear of being afraid of him, but we serve him because he has given us salvation. He has given us that gift, and we receive that gift. And because of that, we serve him. We want to obey him. We want to do what he tells us to do. We want to follow his ways. We don't want to transgress against him. We don't want to commit sins or iniquity in our hearts. We want to be cleansed, and we want him to cleanse us. We want to take that 1 John 1:9 soap, and we want to continue to wash with that soap. Yes, yes. 1 John 1:9. We want to continue to wash with that he might continuously cleanse us from that unrighteousness. Yes, yes. And in that cleansing, in that reverence for God, there should be repentance. You know, I know sometimes people will ask for forgiveness, and once they ask for forgiveness, you know, as they move forward, they go back into the same thing again. They have to ask for forgiveness over and over for the same thing. Yes, God has that much mercy and grace to forgive you. But somewhere down the line, you would think there would be a maturing of the person to the point that they would say, I love you that much, God, and I thank you so much for your forgiveness. And now I'm going to turn away from this thing. So repentance is very important, to turn away from sin and to go in the other direction and to be able to overcome that sin, because he's given us the power to do that by the power of his Holy Spirit. Yes, yes, yes. So those are the three things I've covered so far. Is God can hear us no matter where we are. He records the sin, but he has the power to forgive us the sin, number three. And the next thing is that I just covered was that he deserves our reverence, and we should give our reverence to him. We should give our reverence. We love him because he first loved us. And so we return the love and reverence to him, to obey him. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So we should be willing to keep his commandments. We should be wanting to follow him. Yes, yes. And the fifth thing I'm going to say is that he will come to our aid. So he forgives us and we give him that reverence, and he'll come to our aid. But look, he don't come when we want him to, but he'll come when it's time. We look in verse number 5. Verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. And in his word, I put my hope. So verse 5, I wait for the Lord. And here he's waiting like a watchman. You know, they didn't have automated ways to do surveillance and things like that. They had to put a watchman on the tower that they would watch through the night. And that watchman is watching and waiting for the Lord. And so he's waiting expectantly. So this is where the expectation comes in. The psalmist has already told us that God can hear, you know, that we can cry out to him, he'll hear us. He's shown us that he could hear us. Even though we have sinned and we can't stand before him, he'll forgive us and we have reverence for him. But we must be willing to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So in their waiting, we are not waiting passively, we're waiting actively. We're looking, we're watching our whole being. And when you're in a depth of something that you're suffering from, your whole being is affected. And so as you're waiting, looking, waiting patiently that the Lord is going to answer. He's going to deliver you. He's going to come to your aid. He's going to rescue you. And in his word, you put your hope. He said some things to us. He's made some promises to us. And we put our hope in the promise of God's word. What he has spoken to us, he will bring it to pass. In his word, we hope. What his expressions of, we hope. God promised, and he will fulfill. He has given us a Savior. And he has given us a Savior that we might believe on him, that we would not perish. And he has given us a Savior that we can believe, that Savior that sent back his Holy Spirit. And so in his word, there's power for us, power for hope. Yes, I'm always going to trust God no matter what the situation, whether it's cancer, whether it's some type of family problem, whether it's a child in trouble. I'm going to trust in the Lord that things are going to work together for good. Things going to work together for good. He said all things work together for good. And we're going to trust him. And then the psalmist repeats it again. He says, I wait for the Lord, verse 6, more than watchmen wait for the morning. Then he says it again, more than the watchmen wait for the morning. I wait for the Lord more than a watchman waits for the morning. That watchman is waiting and watching for that morning. He's looking. He's waiting and he's watching. What are you going to look for? What are you waiting for? You need to be looking and waiting and watching, knowing that God will come. He's coming. He's coming back again. We as the body of Christ, we're waiting for Christ to return. He is going to return, and so we're to occupy while we're waiting. We don't wait passively. We wait actively. We begin to do our daily things and activities, giving him glory in the morning, at the noon, in the evening, all throughout the day. We honor God, but we go about our activities. We go about whatever work we have to do, whatever we have to do. We do those things every day while we're waiting. More than a watchman waits for the morning. Yes, we're waiting. Sometimes waiting is hard. You know, sometimes we're waiting for something and we want it to happen right now. But there's a proverb that says, Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when desire cometh, it is a well of life. So when it comes, we're full of life when that answer comes. But the waiting is sometimes difficult for us. I encourage you on the line today, saints, be able to wait. Call upon the Lord, but be able to wait. Then he goes on and he's talking about these things so far. It seems to be more individually related as they were singing this song. They're talking about the Lord crying out from the depths. But now we realize that it also is a national cry. Because as he gets to verse 7, he starts talking about the nation of Israel. He starts talking about the nation as a whole. And in verse number 7, we can see his loving kindness, his mercifulness. As we can see his unfailing love in verse number 7, as he goes on to say, Israel, put your hope in the Lord. Not in the priesthood, not in the government, but put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is unfailing love, there is mercy, because our God is merciful. And with him is full redemption. He can fully redeem us. He can give us full restoration. He can purchase us from that depth of despair. He can bring us out. So the nation is to put their hope in the Lord for his unfailing love, his redemption power, his power to purchase us back. And lastly, in verse 8, he will redeem us. He says he himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. So our God has the power to purchase not just us as an individual, but also us as a nation. He can redeem us from all the sins. And I'm reminded that we have individual sins. And even as they were going up to the temple, there was a time when they had to offer animal sacrifices. Yes, they were ordered to offer these animal sacrifices. For individual sins, they would bring their animals, their bullocks or whatever, their rams or whatever it is, they would bring that animal to the tabernacle, to the temple. They would go into the gates, thanking God. They would go into the gates, praising God. As they approached the brazen altar, they would take that animal and they would be before the priest. And they would lay their hand upon the animal and the priest, symbolizing their transference of their sin to that animal. And the priest would kill the animal with their hand on that animal's head. The transference of the sin to the animal, and the sin, the animal dies because of their sin. They committed some type of sin, some type of transgression, and they would bring that animal as a sacrifice for their sin. And they would kill that animal, and that animal would die. Yes, they would do that for individual sin. But once a year, they would bring two lambs before the altar, the brazen altar of sacrifice for sin. They would take one, and they would sacrifice him on the altar. The priest would kill him and drain the blood. The other one, they would take and send it out into the wilderness. They would take the one, that high priest, that once a year, he would take that blood of the lamb. Hallelujah. He would take that blood of the lamb, and he would enter into the Holy of Holies. He would go behind the veil with the blood, and he would take the blood of that lamb
and sprinkle it on
that covering of the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. He would sprinkle that blood to atone, to redeem, and to forgive the nation for any sins that the nation had done during that year. Just as the individual sins would be forgiven by the shedding of that blood, but by the shedding of the blood and the sprinkling of the blood on the mercy seat, he would forgive the nation of their sins. Hallelujah. We need a sprinkling of the blood in the United States of America. Somebody, we need a sprinkling of the blood in the United States of America. Yes, 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 yes. We got a lot going on, whether it be Republican or Democrat, or whether it be independent, or whatever's going on in our nation. We need a sprinkling of the blood on God's mercy seat. Lord, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon our nation today. Hallelujah. Lord, have mercy upon our nation. And it's individually, we need that covering of the blood. We need to know that that blood atoned for us on Calvary's cross. We accepted the Lord as our Lord and Savior. We accepted him. And it's his blood that covers our sin. Yes, it's his blood that we are declared righteous by his blood. Yes, 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 yes. So we need to continually remember that. We don't have to bring animals to a temple. We don't have to do that every time we sin. All we have to do is take out our bar of soap, 1 John 1:9, we can confess our sin, knowing that he is faithful to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, our God can hear us no matter where we are, no matter how deep the pain, no matter how deep the trouble we're in. Yes, our God can record sins, but he's also able to forgive us of sin. And he know he deserves our reverence. We should always be willing to give reverence to our God. We respect him. We love him. We obey him. We trust him. We do not lean upon our own understanding. We acknowledge who he is in our lives, that he directs us in everywhere we go. Yes, he will come to our aid. He will come. Come quickly, Lord, to help us, oh God. We can cry out to him knowing that we're waiting patiently, watching and looking, that just as the watchman got up and he was up all night looking, we're looking and watching and waiting. They that wait upon the Lord. Let us wait expectantly that our God is coming, that he will deliver us out of the depths of our despair. He is loving and merciful. What a mighty God we serve. He's loving and merciful, and he's full of mercy. Yes, yes, he wished that none should perish, but that all come to repentance and everlasting life. God wished that none of us should perish. He gave us this free gift of salvation through his son, Jesus. Yes, we can go forward and share the good news with others. We can share the gospel. We can fulfill Matthew 28, the demands of us to go forth and share the gospel with others. For we know we've been redeemed from our sins. We've been purchased with a price. Wouldn't it be great if our nation would humble themselves? Oh, my goodness. We need more humility in this country. We need to turn from our wicked ways. We need to pray to our God that he'll be delivered. Yes, we got other people from other religions that live in this country, and they pray to their God. But we're talking about the saints of God, those that are followers of Jesus Christ. Let us call upon the name of our Lord that he would cleanse us from unrighteousness, that he would deliver our nation from the depths of despair. Yes, we're going forward in this life, and life will continue to go forward. But we want to encourage those who are, may be suffering today, who may be struggling today. Yes, God is able. He can lift you out of that despair. Yes, as I said, in my mind, this title, this message to me was, Lord, lift me up by your love. It was love that lifted me. Y'all know the songwriter. Some of y'all know the old song, hymn, you know, that I was sinking deep in sin. I was far from a peaceful shore. I was deeply stained within. I was sinking, believing I may not rise again. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters he lifted me and put me safe, and safe as I. Listen, this Psalm 130 is one of the songs that makes you think about that hymn.
Yes.
Love lifted me. His
yes.
love lifted me from the depths of my despair. Yes, I've been in those moments. But it was the love of God, the love of Christ that lifted me from the despair. I called upon his name. He heard my cry, and I gave it to him. Listen, when he forgives you, don't go back and fish that up again. Yes, if it's in the sea of unforgiveness, put a sign up saying no more fishing. No fishing here, because I done threw it in the sea. It's gone. Don't
yes.
fish it back out. Sometimes we'll go back around. We know we ask the Lord to forgive us, and he's forgiven us, but we haven't forgiven ourselves. Release that to him and let God have it. Yes, let God have it. And then you can be free not just from the sins, but you'll be free to turn away and let your life be better than it was from the time that you have failed into despair. And so we give God the glory. We give God the praise. And I thank you today. My prayer, as I close, my prayer, this is my prayer point. Oh, Father God, I ask today, Lord, that you would hear us when we cry out to you. Lord, hear our cry. attend to our prayer. It is from the ends of the earth sometimes, Father, that we find that we have to cry out to you, O God. Hear our cry. Hear our voices as we cry out to you, Lord. Yes, we have individual things that we're concerned about, individual sin, individual problems, God. Hear our cry. Hear us, O God. We cry for your mercy, for your loving kindness, Father. We know that your mercies are renewed every day, God. We cry out to you today, this Sunday morning, Father. Hear us, O God. We need you every day and every hour of our life. We need you every moment to walk with us, Father, even on this day. We know that the enemy is seeking to kill, steal, and destroy. We know he's like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. But we know we stand on the promises of your word and on the blood of Jesus Christ. We know, God, that you would protect us even from the enemy. So, Father, we ask that you would help us today. It is our call to you, Father. Yes, Lord, hear our prayer. Yes, please, Lord, blot out our transgressions, blot out our sins, blot out our iniquity, Father, and cast them into the sea of forgetfulness. Father, we know that you'll remember them no more, Father. We ask that you release that for us today, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you forgive us, God. We know that you have forgiveness and you've extended forgiveness to us. You already forgave us, Lord God. We confess it. It's, you have cleansed us by the blood of Jesus. We ask yes, that today, Father. We pray, yes, Father. And, Father, we ask, God, that you continue to help us every day. And for those things that we need to know to grow in more knowledge of you, Father, to draw closer to you, to be more in your presence, Father, show us the way. Father, we're sitting here waiting expectantly. We're sitting here with hope for tomorrow. Father, we have hope for today. Whatever the day brings, we have hope in this day. And we have hope for tomorrow. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives, God. We love you, God. We glorify who you are every day of our lives. And, Father, we just thank you. I thank you for all the saints that are on the line today under the sound of my voice, God. I pray, God, that you would lift them up by your love. Father, minister to their hearts today. Whatever that they need, Father, let them be willing to call upon your name. Yes, Father, they can open their mouth and call upon you, Father. You'll hear their prayer and attend to their cry. Father, I thank you for that. I thank you for you being able to come into my life and the testimonies that I can have when you answered my prayer. Oh, yes, sometimes, yes. Father, I was so down, I didn't even know what to pray. But, God, I knew you came through, and you showed me, and you delivered me from the situation, Father. You have shown me the way to everlasting life. You showed me the way to righteous living. And, Father, I thank you for that. And so I hope that you would ever increase our faith. Increase our faith, God. And I want to pray, Lord God, as the other part of my prayer, Lord, I offer it up to you today. I pray for our nation. I pray for our communities. I hear so much. We see so much. We experience so much in our communities, in our lives, our families. Father, I pray for our communities. I pray for our cities. I pray for our states. I pray for this country, oh God. We are entering into a period, Father God, where their decisions are going to be made or who's going to lead us going forward for four more years. Yes, whatever that decision, whatever occurs, Father, we ask that you bring your law into existence, into the mind of those individuals. We ask, God, that you will deal with our nation according to your will and your word and your laws and your ways. But, Father, let us be able to stand true because we are the body of Christ. So as the body of Christ, Father, let us be your witness in the earth. Let us be the ones that share the good news. Let us be the ones that stand for righteousness. And, Father, we know that our nation will be blessed because there is a remnant of God that's in this earth. There's a remnant of God is in the United States. You don't have to call yourself one particular party, but call yourselves the followers of Jesus Christ. Call yourself the body of Christ because we are your body to show your testimony in the earth, Father. So help us, Father. No matter what we think the future may hold, we are hoping that it's going to be what you desire to be, God. You lift up kings and you bring down kingdoms. And so we'll trust you in whatever you do, God, in every way. Yes. Just as the psalmist said, Israel puts their hope in the Lord. We, as Americans, United States of America, whatever we call ourselves in this country, we put our hope in you, Lord, for your unfailing love. And your mercy endures forever. And we thank you forever. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Lord. Father, we just thank you, Lord. We just thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
We lift up your name, Lord. We lift you up, God. Lift us up. Whatever our situation. We give you the glory, Father, and the praise.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus'
name. Hallelujah.
I just ask everybody, is you there?
Hallelujah.
I know you have your phones muted. Hallelujah. We just praise him. Hallelujah. We just worship him. Hallelujah. Give God the glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this powerful song. Thank you, Lord God, that you hear us in the depths of our despair. Thank you, Lord. What a mighty God you are. We just glorify you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We want to thank Pastor Kuiper for bringing our message today based on this beautiful song, Psalm 130, Psalm 130 this morning. And we are going to provide Pastor Kuiper our input this morning, certainly our words of encouragement, because this is a message in which the Lord gave to him to give to us. Lord, lift me up by your love. Lord, lift me up by your love. Pastor Kuiper, Pastor Reggie, I'm going to just jump on out and just provide to you. Thank you for giving me this page of notes on today. I will tell you, I was blessed by just you reading each of those verses, verse 1 from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. I was blessed by that. And I'm going to take the time to read each of those within the next week or two, each of those psalms, and just meditate on those. But I want you to know that was a blessing to me right there. As I listened to you closely this morning, I saw the principles of prayer. I saw the protocols and the attributes of prayer that is heard by God. When this psalmist, who we do not know who he or she was in the writing, one thing we do know, that they had a relationship with God. They had a relationship with God. The second thing is, I know that by how the psalmist acknowledges God. He basically says to us, God, you're the only one who can heal. You're the only one that can deliver. You're the one that hear. You're the one that rescue. You're the one that provides mercy. And to me, we have to, as a disciple, or I, as a disciple, have to go straight to the source. That's what Jonah did when he got in the belly of the fish. He went straight to the source. Job went straight to the source. David, even fine, when he stood before Goliath, he went straight to the source. And when I read one of my most favorite passages of scripture is Psalm 51, where David has a conversation with God, and he himself walks through this path of forgiveness. And I will tell anyone, if you've ever walked in this path of a need of forgiveness, and I know I have, Psalm 51 is the one, Pastor Kuiper, I just read over and over again, asking the Lord to cleanse me and clean me and to make me into the vessel that he desires for me to be. And as I look at that psalm, I'm just going to highlight a couple of things as others prepare to come. When David even said, he says, cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Verse number 7, wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. And then he says, not only cleanse me with hyssop, and not only wash me and make me whiter than snow, but Sister Glory, he said in verse number 10, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. David knew that he could call on the Lord, and he knew if he came in a spirit of humility, a spirit of faith, a spirit of in the spirit of waiting, he knew God, number one, heard him when he prayed. It's another thing that you said this morning as well, as you talked about that sea of forgiveness. And I want us to give you a scripture on that. Psalm 103 this morning. Psalm 103 as we look at verse number 12. And here's what it says. Let me go back up to verse number 11. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. Verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. We also can see it over in Micah chapter 7, verse 19, as well as Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 18, as it speaks of the sea of forgiveness and what God will do. The other thing, Pastor Reggie, I caught was this night watchman. As you said, during that time, they didn't have the surveillance cameras that we have today. They didn't have the blink. They didn't have the other kinds of things that, you go and you press the button on the door now, and people don't even have to come to the door. They can see you on the camera. They can see you on the television. But back during this time, they had night watchmen, and during the time of the area in which they lived in, it was cold for them. It was hard for them. But I noticed something for them. Not only was it cold and hard, not only was it dark, but they said the watch is long, but they knew that the sun was rising. They knew that they would not be disappointed. And that's one thing the psalmist shows me here is that you will never have to be worried about being disappointed in the Lord. And I'm thankful for that, in that I can listen to what he say in terms of waiting, my posture of waiting, my active waiting, my honoring God in the midst of the waiting, my waiting in his word, my waiting and resting in his promises, my waiting in my mind being renewed, Romans 12, 1 and 2. So I just thank you today. You walked us through this psalm, and again, thank you for taking us to those, reading those first verse 1 of each of those Psalm 120 through 134 that are identified as psalms of ascents. I thank you for that and the encouragement that you gave on today. So thank you again for showing us the attributes of God in this message today. God's mercy, God's forgiveness, how we are to serve him, how we are to put our hope in him, how we are to wait on him, how we are to participate in that full redemption. And I'm going to tell you one other thing I saw, Pastor Kuiper. I saw Jesus. I saw Jesus. I know you saw him because you talked about him going to Calvary in our place for the remission of our sins. No need for a bull, no need for a calf, no need for a duck. I saw Jesus right there in verse number 8. It says he himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. How can that happen unless Jesus going to the cross for the remission of our sins? No need again for calves and bulls and doves and those various things. Right there, I didn't see it earlier this week, but I kept on reading this, and the Holy Spirit said, don't you see Jesus? Don't you see that full redemption? Because you can only be redeemed through Jesus Christ. So, again, I thank you for highlighting this so that I could see Jesus. I want to see him. Look up on his face to see Jesus. To see Jesus. I thank you again. I know we got some others want to come, but I just thank you this morning that I saw Jesus and I see Jesus still redeeming. I see Jesus telling me to continue carrying out Matthew 28:19-20. He says, yes, you know what the world looks like because I've already told you in my word, the word is going to get even more lawless. It's going to be more lawlessness. He said that there will be children against parents. He's already told us that men and women will be lovers of money, and they will turn from the natural affections to the unnatural affections. He already told us in the word. But if we have to move our focus from knowing, Lord, you told me this, but you told me something else, then I'm going to carry out your message and tell people Jesus lives. And that Jesus say, thank you again, brother. Thank you again. Amen. I know we got some others that desire to come. Come on this morning and join in with this discussion on Psalm 130, how we see the attributes of God, as Pastor Kuiper laid it out, the attributes of God, but yet still we see a responsibility that we have as children of God. Amen. Anyone else this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning, Mother Cora. Come on in.
Good morning. Recognizing all on the line this morning, thanking you, Pastor Kuiper, for your words of encouragement and teaching this morning. I looked at this as 2024. I put myself in and I said, all right, I want to buy a car. And I go to two different dealerships. One dealership said, oh, yeah, I can sell you this car. I can sell you cheaper than what the other one say, I promise you. Okay, the other one said, I can sell you the same car, and I'll guarantee you that I'll take care of the car. Whatever the problem is, it'll be corrected. I guarantee you. So which one do you think that I will go with? The one that's going to give it to me for less, or the one that promised to correct all that need be corrected? So I chose the one that has the guarantee.
All right.
That's how we choose God's word. Because his promise is true. He has proven himself that who he is, who he say he is. So he guarantees us that he can get us out of this darkness. And his word keeps us out of darkness. So that's the one I would go with, the one that has a guarantee. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. 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 Wow. Amen. Amen. Yes. Mother Cora, you're so right about that. The one with the guarantee, the one that makes the promise, and also he is known, he or she is known for keeping their promise.
That's right. That's why I go with that.
Amen.
He's proven himself worthy.
Yeah.
He's trust. You can trust him.
Yes. Yes. You got your own personal testimony.
Amen.
Can't nobody change your mind.
So many times. Amen.
Hallelujah. Can't nobody change your mind. Can't nobody convince you to go another way. You have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back.
Amen.
That's a testimony, a life testimony. Anyone else this morning? When you read Psalm 130, what words jump out at you? What phrases jump out at you? What does it remind you of when you cried out to the Lord?
Mm.
This is a testimony psalm to me, too. It's a testimony.
Amen.
He says, I cry out to the Lord. Go on, Pastor.
Now, Mother Cora, when I heard you say that, I kind of marinated on that a little bit. That's why I marinated on your thoughts. And I kind of thought about it. If I got it cheaper, I'm driving off, it might break down.
Amen. As soon as you leave.
Yes, ma'am. But I got the other guarantee. I just call them. Come see you.
That's right. Call back.
I got you. Amen.
And, you know, that's what happened, because that's how the enemy works. The enemy knows. See, the enemy, he been there. He knows what's there. And if he give you a little personal compliment or something like that, you know, he know he can win you over, because you know you don't know. But see, when you know you know, and know you know, then you know you all right. But don't let you know that enemy. He don't think he doesn't know, because he been there and he sure don't want you to go and get what he could have had if he hadn't got so uppity. You know, if you just stayed humble,
There you go.
And obeyed, he would have been still there. And he knows that. So
that's
he
right.
don't want you to get there. He wants you to come on down here and hang out with me. Yeah, I don't
that's
want you
right.
to get what I couldn't get. I didn't get. I was...
That's right.
He'll play on you. I'm telling you.
That's
don't
right.
think he's not thinking.
Yeah, he got his own schemes and tactics.
Right,
yes,
right.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
When you have when you get a taste of honey, you know what honey tastes like.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right, Mother Cora.
Okay, on the word and on the psalm, it's like a lot of times we look for God's grace, we look for God's mercy, but sometimes we hope, we don't linger on that enough. We don't instill enough in that hope. That one word, hope, is so powerful, it's so meaningful, and it's so needed for the body of Christ, especially this season. And if a little bit of hope would take us a long way. God's going to give us everything, but sometimes you get dismantled and you need that encouragement. And sometimes you have to help. In order to do that, we rely on hope. Hope is much needed in all of us, day and every day. I mean, that just stands out to me. I just can see that one word and focus on that and get me through the next hour. Get, you know, help me encourage my kids or my grandkids. Hope for it. I don't know everything. You're not going to tell me everything. You may tell me everything that you think I want to hear. But then there's some things when you're in school or when you're away that you need an answer to. You got to pray. It, no matter what it looks like, you know, if you, God said I can have this, but don't give up your hope. Even when your faith dwindles down, you got that hope.
Yeah.
And that's something that manifests in our spirit that carries us each and every day.
Mm-hmm.
If we just
hope
in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That loving kindness, comes, you know, it's going to be with that, you know, always.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Amen. And sister, I was listening to you, that hope, you were hitting it too, because you were saying hope. Hope. That's what I was hearing. Hope. Every time you were saying it, hope. You know, and I got to give Jesse some credit here. Keep hope alive.
Amen.
Hope alive. Yes, indeed. And that was so powerful, because then what came to my mind when you were talking was Romans 5, when he talks about, you know, tribulations, you know, tribulation working patience experience, and experience hope. And hope makes us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We need that hope. You're right. We need hope today. Everybody, you know, some people act like they hopeless out here. There's no hope. No hope for this. No hope for the country. There's hope. We need that hope.
Amen. That's what makes it sad.
Amen.
when you hear the believers speaking as if there is no hope.
Come on now.
That's dangerous.
When
you're in the presence of believers, they say I'm God's disciple, and you're speaking without hope.
Come on now, Monica.
My Lord.
Where is the unbeliever going if the believer doesn't have no hope? Who gonna tell me? Who gonna tell the unbeliever that there is hope?
It makes it sound like hope is supernatural. Hope must be supernatural thing.
It is.
Hope. You know, and I'm thinking about Dr. Singleton, she's going to love this one right here. Because when David showed up to the battlefield, the rest of the soldiers said, ain't no hope. Goliath got us.
There you go.
Hope. That's right.
But he didn't talk. He talked hope. He said, what y'all talking about?
Mm-hmm.
You don't know who God is?
Mm-hmm. That's right. You gotta keep it. Keep it present at all times. And see that's what the enemy knows. If you're talking without hope, the enemy knows, I got them. I got them going in my direction now. And if you don't come to yourself, and realize, wait a minute, what am I saying here? You know, I do have hope.
That's right.
I know who I belong to. That's where my hope is in.
Amen. Mm-mm-mm. Come on now.
Yes, Lord.
I got my hand raised in the classroom this morning.
Go ahead, Doc.
That scripture, Romans 5, and when you were talking about our sister, when she talked about that hope, and it talked about not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Produces
character.
And character, come on now, character produces what? Hope. And hope, verse number 5. And hope does not put us to shame.
To shame. Hallelujah.
Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts. Notice what is through. Through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Now, Pastor Kuiper liked the word Holy Ghost. So out into our hearts through the Holy Ghost who has been given to us. We have a supernatural, unlike the world. We have a hope in Christ Jesus. We have a confidence in Christ Jesus. And sister, you show right about that, because I flipped over to Romans chapter 14, and I went down to verse number 13. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. And notice this, as you trust in him.
In him.
So that you, Wanda, Deborah, may overflow with hope, oh my Lord, by the power, here it is again, of the Holy Ghost. So it is supernatural, Pastor Kuiper. This hope that we have as believers, a hope when we're looking at a situation that the person is connected to all kinds of machines, but we walk in the room with Isaiah 53, 4, and 5, standing strong as prayer warriors and not looking at the machines and looking at the blood pressure going up or dropping down, but our hope is produced by the power of the supernatural that lives inside of us, which is the Holy Ghost. He's the God of hope. We are connected to hope. Jesus Christ, the true vine, we are connected to hope. And when it seems like, because things are going to seem like a whole lot of things, But when it seems like, when those three Hebrew boys went in, do you think they gave up their hope? Oh, no. They said, we're not going to bow. We're not. Our hope is in our God, because we've already seen, as Mother Cora talked about, that guarantee. We've already been given a warranty that we're not going to come to any storm or rivers or waters, that he's not going to be with us in it. Hope. It says that people can live without water for a period of time. They can live without food for a period of time. But you can't live without hope.
Amen. Go ahead.
Go on, Mother.
Go ahead. I don't want to go ahead.
May the God of hope, he's the creator, our creator, our heavenly Father. When I got my hope in him, why should I be? Because what causes us to worry is the same thing what happened to Peter. Peter was doing well walking on the water. He did what no man has done. He walked on a substance that you can't walk on. But when he put his eyes on his concerns, on his worries, on his anxieties, on the storm that caused him to do what? Begin to sink. Yes, we see what's happening on the ABC, NBC, CNN, and all these other things, and right in your own neighborhood. But if I put my eye on there, I'm sinking. I'm getting depressed, oppressed, worse. Mm. But if I put my eye on the God of hope, my prayer changes. Mm. My prayer life changes. My prayer points change, Pastor Kuiper. Mm. Because I know reality. I know what I see, but I truly know what reality is because I know what God told me. God said, David said, I once was young, but now I'm old. I don't care the height of the prices in the grocery store. I know they high. But guess what? I am not going to go hungry. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go without clothes. I'm not going to go without a place to live. I'm not going to go without shoes, because my God is all sufficient. He said he's going to provide for his children.
Yeah.
My hope is in him. Mm-hmm. Come on, Pastor Kaib. I know you let me raise my hand. You let me go. But you hold it and let it go. Come on.
I'm not going to let you. I'm not gonna mess with you, because I'm absorbing what you're saying, and I do believe that we have to maintain that hope. That's such a powerful word today for us. Thank you, sister, for that word. And the guarantee,
you.
Mother Cora, that's important, because I do have a guarantee. I'm assured of my salvation. I'm assured that he's gonna deliver. I'm assured. You know, some people, those commercials say you're in good hands with Allstate, but I'm in good hands with the Almighty. I'm in good hands with
the
Almighty.
The best hands. Yes, sir.
The best hands I could be in.
Yes, sir.
And I know that he will make sure that I'm okay and I'm taken care of, just like you said. That's right. So sometimes we don't know where it's going to come from. But
amen.
We believe God. Amen.
That's why I run on over here to Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for.
Whoa.
Mm.
And assurance about what we do not see. Tell me hope. You ain't got no hope? All right. You better have some hope.
Yes, I know.
Woo. Man.
If we can see it, then that's not faith.
Come on now.
Something to think hope for.
All right.
You don't see, but you hope for it. That hope is powerful. That's supernatural. Hope is a supernatural thing.
It is.
That's how I'm seeing that today.
It is. It's supernatural. This kind of hope is supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
Produced by the Holy Spirit. And Mother Cora, I thank you for that. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You seek, I got a hope in him. I seek after him. And guess what? I want to please God.
Mm-hmm. And that carries us right on back to Matthew 6:33.
Come on,
seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'm telling you, that it you know, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. Amen.
Yes.
To know what you believe, to know what you believe in.
No. Amen. And because I have that hope, I can approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for opening. Thank you for opening up to me, Lord, a place I can go, person I can go to you, Lord. Yes, Lord. So that we may receive mercy and find grace. I get what I don't deserve, and he keeps back what I do deserve. Mercy keeping back what I do deserve, and grace giving me what I don't deserve. To help us in our time of need. Hebrews 4. And 16.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. 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 The church said amen.
Amen.
Amen,
Mother Court. Amen. That trust and that faith, hope. I trust you.
And that's coming from that's coming out of the heart.
Amen.
The heart of man.
Yes, ma'am. Amen. Oh, thank you. Amen. I needed this morning. Thank you so much. This will add on to my early morning today. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Because this Psalm 130 is a testimony for me. It's a testimony. I cried out to the Lord.
That's the only way you can have guarantees. You know, when you've been there, you've got guarantee. You know what he do.
That's right.
You know what he has done. So that's a guarantee.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
And I know he'll do it again.
That's a guarantee. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
That's like you go to the doctor and the doctor say, oh, you got da-da-da-da-da. And I said, that's not what God told me. God told me I was healed. So when you say that, it's okay. For you.
All right, man.
Hallelujah. So, Mother Cora, I'm going to give a testimony for you, and then we're going to go over to Uncle John. I'm going to give a testimony for Mother Cora. Mother Cora has adopted me as one of her many, many daughters, so I'm in that lineup. And Mother Cora had a health challenge a few years ago. And because of her daughters knowing that I'm a part of the family, they sent me a picture. And Mother Cora, I saw the picture, but I saw beyond the picture.
All right.
And I want to tell you all, Mother Cora is here today to give her own testimony of see what the Lord has done.
Amen.
Because if I focused in on the pictures and what the doctors were saying, that my eyes would have gotten off of Isaiah 53, 4, and 5 saying she is healed. She has the victory. I'm not being ignorant of this, but I know my eyes is on what God has said. My eyes is on the promise of God. I'm going to stand on what God has said. It's the mess. If the blood pressure goes up, I'm still standing on what God says. If it drops, I'm still standing on what God says.
Amen.
That's what we have, hope.
Yes.
Hope. Sister Wanda, that's what God has made us a promise about our children.
Mm.
And look like we see it's getting going the other way, but my hope is still there. My faith is still there. I'm standing on what God has said. I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm not going to quit.
Hold on. Amen. Hold on. Amen. The timing, his timing.
Come on.
Not my timing, his timing.
Come on.
Oh, we want it now, and if we had got it now and it too early, he's out of it can't function the way God has it set up.
My Lord.
If you come in ahead of time, you're not going to do what God has for you to do. So you have to wait on his timing. You can't make it your time. God knows what he's doing. You better believe it.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll understand it better.
Yeah, because timing is, you know, just because I want it now because, it looked like this and it looked like that and da-da-da-da-da.
Mm.
But it's not God's time. So whatever I have to go through to wait on God's time, and that's what I have to go. I have to wait on it. I have to go through it. He's there with me. He's taking me through it. He didn't leave me just because I'm going through. He didn't say, I'm going to leave you now because you're going through this. No, that's the time he said, I'm your present help.
Mm.
I'm already here. So.
Present.
Whoa. Praise God.
Glory.
And I think about the kids getting ready to go back to school. I just ran across Psalms 114, and it says, you are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. And that's what I want to instill in the youth today that I come across with, including my own. No matter what it looks like, God's there. If God is there. You have somebody. No matter what you're.
Right. Just because the physical eyes see red don't mean that it's red.
Come on now. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I know what you're talking about.
Green is all over there. Go on. Mm-hmm. Keep on going. Nothing wrong with that blessed. That blessed assurance that Jesus has already come.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So give me that scripture one more time.
Psalms 119, verse 114.
Right.
Okay, 119.
You know where that is.
All right. Then.
114.
To God be the glory. That's it.
Amen.
Amen. You do it every time.
Mm-hmm. The young people, they don't like to talk. They don't like to tell you everything. They don't like to be, they give you a little sense of what's this and what's that, but that's not the whole story. And it's okay. Because when you know, you have that shield of protection.
Mm-hmm.
Christ as your Savior, you have that shield of protection.
And the big word in that is still hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
Oh, I like that. That song.
See that big hope in that? Hope.
I see it. But Mother Cora, what does it say? I have put my hope where?
In your word.
It's in his word.
And you notice the Holy Spirit, because it all keeps coming back circling around into, connecting to each other. That hope. Let us know the importance of hope.
Yes. Look at verse 116.
Uh-oh. That's it. We know that promise.
Oh, yeah. You see
have to know.
I see that.
Yes. You see?
Yep.
Read it for me, Sister Wanda. Read it.
Uphold me according to your word that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope.
There it is. Lord have mercy.
That's the word. That's the operative word today, hope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It must be important.
It's important.
To God be the glory. To God be the glory. I know Brother John is jumping. I know he's jumping.
He's probably
walking back and forth, walking. Why don't y'all let me in? Let me in.
Amen. 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 Uncle John, come on in. Come on. Come on.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Wonderful time.
Amen, amen. Praise God, praise God.
I want to thank God this morning for you and you and your prayer. My wife started feeling better this week.
Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you. Have to wait patiently. Wait patiently. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
Glory.
Thank
glory.
You. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Glory. Glory.
Can't stop hoping. Amen.
By your love. Pastor Kuiper, you went at it this morning. You put it down and you build it up. Showed us where we could see it. I had getting on this morning, so I didn't get devotion. Y'all had devotion. I couldn't get it.
Yes, sir, we did.
Well, I couldn't get it.
So. Yes, sir, I opened it up this morning. We did Psalm 98 this morning. And I opened it with prayer. And Uncle John, I even sung a song this morning.
Thank God for you, you and you. We'll look at a couple of verses here. From Psalm 130. And they got a bag of scripture, Matthew 25:1-13. Might look at a taste of that on our way out. Five and six from Psalm 130. I wait for the Lord. Soul do it wait. And in his word do I hope. My soul waited for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about be on the morning watch. Be on the morning watch.
Wow.
Is having prayer with our Maker. Verse 1, he said, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Verse 2, Lord, hear my voice, that I yield be attended to the voice of my supplication. Please listen, O Lord, to my prayer. Because, my Lord, you can and will answer prayer. Because I wait for the Lord. My soul do wait, and in his word do I hope. There is hope in waiting for God's word. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. Say, more than they that watch for the morning. That's why I say be on the morning. And I'll back up scripture, Matthew 25:1-13. He tells us some things we need to know if we're going to be morning watch. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be like unto 10 virgins, took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. That's why I tell you this morning, keep some oil in your vessel. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom coming. So go ye out to meet him. Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, no, not so, lest there be not enough for us and for you. Go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. When they went to buy, the bridegroom came. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Afterward came the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, you know not neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man comes. Be on the morning watch. I had a grandmother who used to say, I want to be ready if I don't get chance to go. And time after time, she would say that. I was a little boy. One day I asked the grandmother, what do you mean you want to be ready if you don't get a chance to go? She said, you will understand it one day. But one day she died before day in her sleep. That's when I began to understand what she was talking about. She was talking about her dying day. This time she was ready, and she got a chance to go. So that's what I call being on the morning watch. The morning is a beginning of a new day. New day in the heavenly Father's kingdom.
Yes.
That's being on the morning watch. Amen.
Ooh.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
My Lord. Being on the morning watch. Matthew 25.
There's hope in that. Because if you're watching, you're hoping.
I heard it, Mother Cole.
Yes. Amen.
Hope. Hope. Hope.
God be the glory.
Amen. What a confirmation this morning.
Amen.
That was powerful.
All you can say is amen.
So, I would wonder if those five virgins, did they lose hope that they didn't keep their lamps?
Mm-hmm.
But they're not supposed to lose hope.
No.
You got to stay on the watch.
Amen. Regardless of the time.
Yes.
How long it takes.
Yes, you have to stay on the battlefield.
And see, the enemy, that's what he do. He distract you enough to give up your hope. Well, you know it's been 20 years. You know it ain't coming.
Yes.
Those are the little tricks and things that he used against you. Pray on your mind. And next thing you know, you done taken it to your heart. He keeps saying it enough. You'll believe it. That's why we have to be careful at what you listen to. Can't listen to everything. You have to cut it off. Cut it off at the root. Before it gets rooted in, you cut it off right at the door.
Like I
used to tell my kids, don't bring that in here. That can't come in here. We're not bringing that in.
We can't let discouragement and sleep in. We can't let deception seep in. We can't let depression seep in. Nothing is moving. Nothing is happening. But if I am connected to the true vine, and the Holy Spirit lives in me, I can wait on God. I can wait on God. I'm going to go into my prayer closet and talk to him about it, but I'm going to wait on God.
That light going
to
shine.
That's what we have to be encouraged to do. Yes, ma'am. We have to be encouraged to do. I know what it's like to wait. I'm in a waiting position right now. but I'm going to keep on reading God's word. I'm going to keep on walking in his word. As a matter of fact, y'all, I'm going to keep on thanking him because I know he's going to deliver. I know it without a shadow of a doubt. I know it. And I'm in the midst of waiting, but I'm waiting with the right attitude.
Amen.
I'm waiting with the right posture. And I got my mind because I got Galatians chapter 6 going with me. Pastor Kiger, you know what I'm talking a little bit about my waiting. It says right there in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9, let us not become weary.
And well doing.
And doing what? Doing good. Well doing.
That's right.
At the proper time, we will reap a harvest. If we do not give up. I never said it wouldn't be a challenge. I never said we wouldn't cry. I never said we wouldn't wonder why. But I will tell you all this. I made up in my mind to turn away from the why and put my mind on. You said, Lord, you told me don't become weary in well-doing. For you told me in the proper time, I am going to reap not a little bit. Uncle John, you know about farming. You know about that okra. You know about those tomatoes. You ain't just getting one or two. When you have a good crop, you getting bunches of them. They just flowing. The vines are falling off. He says, we are going to reap a harvest, Sister Wanda, if we what? Do not give up. Because the enemy, you're right, Mother Cora, comes along and bring those distractions, bring that deception. Tell you, well, you did all of that and you did all of that and look how it's looking. But let me tell you something. I tell the enemy, that's all right. My Lord tells me he told me to keep on doing good.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me don't give up, because it says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to what? All people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. We cannot give up. We cannot throw in the towel. We got to keep on loving. We got to keep on 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. We got to keep on walking in Galatians 5, 22 through 23, the fruit of the Spirit. We got to keep on going into our prayer closet, Matthew 6 and 6. We got to keep on holding on to the promises of God.
I'm
not giving up, Uncle John.
Amen.
I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. It's like I was sharing with somebody earlier this morning. I've decided I'm going to follow Jesus. Because he told me in Isaiah 41 and 10, and I'm going to stop and then turn it back over to you, Pastor Kuiper. Isaiah 41 and 10 says, so do not fear.
I'm with you.
For I am what? With you.
With you. I'm
put
with
your
you.
Name in there. Put your name
you.
There. For
Amen.
I am with you, Deborah.
Mm-hmm.
Do not be dismayed. For I am Deborah, I am your God.
Your God. My God. Hallelujah.
Deborah,
hallelujah.
I'm going to strengthen you.
Yay.
Mother Carter, he says, I'm going to help you.
Yay.
Then he turns around and said, Uncle John, I will uphold you.
Yay.
Mother Neil, with my right hand.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
His right hand, y'all, the hand of strength.
Hallelujah. It's right. Hallelujah.
His right hand.
Righteousness. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Let us be encouraged this morning.
Hallelujah. Now I know why God told me, don't put confidence in man.
That's right.
Man will deceive you. And I promise you, I don't care how long you've been knowing somebody, one day you'll come to them for encouragement and they'll disappoint you.
Come on now.
They'll disappoint you. But what can you say when God has already told us not to do it?
Come on, he already told us in his word. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. He told us in his word. He told us don't put your trust in princes and
dominions.
Amen. And then, Mother Cora, he told us in Isaiah 40, verse 29, Uncle John, he gives strength.
Yes.
To the weary. Increases, increases the power of
hallelujah.
The week. Hallelujah. Pastor, you need to hear this. Even
hallelujah.
You grow tired and weary.
Hallelujah.
And young men stumble and fall.
Hallelujah.
Look at
God,
verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord,
will
renew their strength.
Hallelujah.
They will do what? They will soar.
Wings like eagles. Hallelujah.
Listen to this, y'all. They will run.
Not faint.
And not grow faint, not grow weary.
They will walk and not faint.
They won't get
tired. Hallelujah.
My hope, Uncle John, hear me. Our strength, when we get weary, our power he gives to us when we're weak. He renews our strength. But he said, those who hope in the Lord.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Pastor Kai, we're back over to you, sir.
Amen.
So closing
hallelujah.
Out. You got it now. You got it.
Listen. That hope is alive right now.
Amen.
That word is weight in the King James.
Amen.
Hope in the version that you read. So let's know what they connected.
Amen.
Come on.
Hope and weight.
Mm-hmm.
I've just been blessed today, saints on the line. Mm-hmm. I've just been blessed today to be able to be part of what God has done today among us. And just to hear the word, the words that are shared today, the testimonies.
I hear somebody singing, Pastor Kuiper.
Go ahead.
If God don't do it,
yes,
it can't be done.
Yes.
If God can't do it, it can't be done. Because God can do anything. If God don't do it, it can't be done. If God can't do it, it can't be done.
Yes.
If God can't do it, it can't be done. God can do all things. If God don't heal us, it can't be done.
Mm-hmm.
If God don't heal, it can't be done. God can do all things. If God don't do it, it can't be done. If God can't do it, it can't be done. Why? Because God can do all things. And I'm glad about it. I'm glad he can do all things. Anything,
yes.
God can do it.
Yes.
He can do it. If God don't save us, it can't be done. If God don't save us, it can't be done. God, because God can do, all things.
My Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
If God can't do it, it won't be done. Because God can do all things. I'm a little long, y'all. Go ahead.
Oh, that's all right. Oh, Lord. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? He could do it.
All things.
Yes, anything.
God can do all things. God can't do it. It won't be done.
Yeah.
God can't do it. It won't be done. Why? Because God can do all things. Lord, thank you, Jesus.
My Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, Lord, Jesus.
Oh, thank you,
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
do.
He won't be done. God don't stay, but it can't be done. Cause God can do anything. Yes, Lord.
Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, so much. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you for that song. Thank you for the Spirit of God. We have hope in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know God can do it. Mm-mm-mm. He could do anything but fail us.
Amen. Amen.
Mother, we got the guarantee. We got the guarantee.
Yes.
Through the blood of Jesus.
Mm.
We have the guarantee that we are sure.
Mm.
We have a blessed assurance.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I just thank God today. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory. Hallelujah. Bless your name today, God.
Thank you, God. Thank you.
Thank you for the blessed hope that we have. An assurance, Father, that you are with us. You can heal us. You can strengthen us. You can deliver. Father, you can do anything.
Yes,
Father, you know you do.
Anything
we say. Father, keep us on the watch. Keep us on the watch. The morning watch. We watch it. We're waiting. We're hoping. We're praying. We're crying out to you, God. That you can do it. Father, I thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. I thank you, God.
Glory to your name. Glory to your name. The joy of the Lord is our strength.
Yes, 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 yes.
Yes,
Lord Jesus.
None like you, Lord. None like you, Lord. None like you.
You got a healing power, Lord. By your stripes we are healed.
Hallelujah.
We've been made whole.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God. Thank you. None like you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes, Jesus.
God all by yourself. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord.
Receive our worship, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, we then.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
I want to go there, don't you?
Yes, yes.
I want to go there. I want to go to heaven, don't you?
Hallelujah. Yes.
I
be the glory.
To go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. Don't you? There is little one waiting for me. I want to go to heaven. Don't you?
Pastor Kuiper, you can close us out. Just a reminder,
yes.
Don't forget this evening, we will be back for our evening session, Walk in the Word, at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern and 6 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. And if you would go ahead and close us out with the benediction, just thank all of you for being here today. We praise God for the presence of the Holy Spirit because he lives in us. And we came as a community of believers today, trusting God and encouraging and one another. And we did it through the word of God. And just thank each of you for being here on today. And thank you, Pastor Reggie, for coming alongside us on today. If you would close us out with our benediction, unless there are any other announcements or any other concerns from those that listen to us on today.
Yes, I have no other announcements today. Pastor Singleton, and to all the saints on the line, it's a blessed time to be in the Lord. We thank God for his presence, the Holy Spirit being with us. And the word of God from all of y'all today. So as we dismiss ourselves from this line, but not from the presence of God, not from the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, because it rests with us. So now may the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, may our God make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his eyesight through our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And let all of our hearts say amen.
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 God bless.
Amen. God bless you. Thanks. Love
amen.
You. Thanks. Love you all.
Amen.
Love you all too.